James chapter 1, verse number, let's see, where exactly where we're at? Verse number 12, James 1, verse 12. James 1, 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Thank you, Father, for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us, Father. We pray in the precious Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Let's go back just a little bit to set the tone for this. The Bible says in James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then he goes on down to verse number 12. And we looked at these other verses a couple of weeks ago. But verse 12, tonight, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Okay, so brethren, notice the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So again, temptation in this context is a trial or test. The man that endures such a trial, a test, is said to be blessed. Now, we're going to look at next week the kind of temptation that is involved with sin. But the kind of temptation we're speaking of now is a trial or a test. Okay, you got, even in the dictionary, the dictionary gives the two different definitions of a temptation. We're going to find out next week that the Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Yet Genesis chapter 22 says that God did tempt Abraham. Well, what's going on? The key is sin. God doesn't tempt anyone with sin. God cannot be tempted with sin. God doesn't tempt anyone with sin. And we're going to look at that next week, Lord willing. But God does tempt in the sense of a trial or a test. God will never tempt you to sin. But God will test you. He will put your faith to the test. Because, brethren, an untried faith has no value. It's merely words. Brethren, everybody can speak of faith. Everybody can talk of faith. But it don't mean anything until it's tried. What did Jesus say in the book of Revelation? He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Brethren, the Bible says in 2 Peter that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. So if your faith is not tried in the fire, it has no weight to it, it has no value. In order for it to produce reward and blessing at the Lord's return, our faith has to be tried. There's got to be a test that comes. And hopefully we'll pass that test, and there'll be other tests. But an untried faith has no weight to it, it has no value. Brethren, everybody can talk about faith. Everybody can talk about it. But it's when things happen that put our faith to the test. In other words, you've taken a certain stand on something that you know is right. Well, that's fine in fair weather. But it's when the storm comes. It's maybe when family or friends or work or someone else says, hey, listen, if you're going to do that, then it's going to cause a part. Then, and brethren, that's when, okay, you're going to suffer loss for it. People are going to misunderstand you. Even maybe people you care about, love, they're going to misunderstand you. They're going to get on your case about it. But yet you know it's right, you know it's true, and you stand true to it. That's the test there. Brethren, anybody can have faith in smooth weather when the wind's not up. It's the test, it's the trial that reveals how true our stand is and our faith is. And it purges it. It cleanses it. It purifies it. Okay. So blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And again, temptation being a test or a trial. Test or trial. Brethren, the word endure in the dictionary means to support without breaking or yielding to force or pressure. Blessed in the dictionary means made happy or prosperous. What's the key to enduring? What's the key to enduring such a thing? Well, charity. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, look at that, endureth all things. Now what did our text say in James? Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Well, what does the Bible tell you that charity does? It endureth all things. So, brethren, if you want to endure temptation, if you want to make it through a testing period, a trying period, the way you're going to have to do it is with faith and with charity. With charity. That's the way. Listen, charity endureth all things. Brethren, when you've got charity, you will endure that thing. You won't quit. You won't give up. You won't say, I'm done, I'm finished with this thing. You'll endure it. You'll see it through to the end. You'll keep yourself right. You'll keep a good attitude with the thing. Charity endureth all things. That's pretty all-encompassing, all things. And one of those things is temptation. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. You want to endure temptation, you want to make it through. You want to make it through a trial, a testing without breaking. You're going to have charity. You're going to have charity. Brethren, you're going to have to take... Brethren, it's so true in so many things in life. You've got to get out of yourself. And you've got to concentrate and think on the Lord and others. You won't make it through a testing and a trial, a time of trial, if you concentrate on yourself. Brethren, how often have you had a physical hurt or pain? And if you found out, if you just got your mind off the thing, you did a little bit better. Have you ever had something hurt you and you've been like, this thing's just killing me? And finally you realize, well, you know what? I'm not helping any by just sitting here and thinking about how bad it's hurting. That is not doing one thing for me about thinking how bad it's hurting. So you know what? I've just got to take and like, yep, it's hurting. I got to get my mind on something else and just get, and that'll help you. And brethren, it's like that in so many things. As long as we concentrate on how bad we feel, how rotten we're being done, or how as long as we key on that, it's going to make it worse. Best thing to do at times is say, well, there it is. Sure ain't enjoyable. This thing sure ain't fun. And I hope it don't last too long. But God, endure it. Hell, Lord, help me do it with the right attitude. And just get out of yourself. Really. It's one of the best things to help you get out of something is to go, okay, what can I do for somebody? What can I do for the glory of God? What can I do for somebody? And that'll help you get out of yourself and it'll help you make it through that thing. All right, so you endure temptation by charity. How else? By keeping your eyes on the Lord. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 27. Brethren, trials and tests come in different ways. And we can't always know how they're going to come. But let's suppose that somebody's there and got a good job, good benefits, good whatever, and something comes up and they have to take a stand that they know is right. Well, that's fine until it starts, pressure gets put on, you're going to lose your position. You're going to lose. It starts getting tight then. And the person starts thinking about his family, starts thinking about his wife, or starts thinking about this or that. And boy, it starts getting on like, brethren, we can all, brethren, around here in church, we can all talk about the right thing to do. But it's out there when sometimes the brethren aren't around and the pressure gets on. And then it's, and everything, and the powers of darkness start marshaling themselves together and start attacking your mind and coming in with all these thoughts. And that's when it gets on then. Why, brethren, look here. Brethren, coming to church is where we get strengthened and get the principles we need. The battle comes tomorrow out there. You see, this is just where we get, brethren, we can all be tigers in here. You understand what I'm saying? We can all be tigers in here because hopefully we get what we need. We get the music, we get what we need. And but brethren, it's tomorrow when your brothers and sisters aren't there with you. We're not assembled together. You're not singing the hymns out. And the devil and the powers of darkness have been waiting in the wings. And tomorrow, rather than they're going to spring the trap right now, most likely. No, you'll put anything past them, but most likely now, it's tomorrow. How many times have you in your life gone to bed thinking, man, I am charged up. I'm ready for that situation tomorrow. I am fired up and happy and ready. And I mean, 10 hours later, whatever, it's like, where'd that go? Where'd all that zeal go? Where'd all that fire go? Where'd all that? Man, I was ready to take on hell with a squirt gun. Where is it? What? Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, really, it's like, where'd it go? And the enemy just goes, ha, ha, ha. Oh, you tough, ain't you? You just a world beater, ain't you? Get him, boy. Get him, tiger. I mean, seriously. It's like, and he starts assaulting the mind. What are you going to do, huh? You ready, huh? We're going to help you out. You're going to get a fool of you. What you going to do? You got to lose your this, lose your job. Go tell your wife that, because you and your big stand, you lose your job now. Go tell him this. I mean, but he's going to pour it on. And it's on now. All right? And I'll tell you what, man, you've just got to make sure that you know you're right about the thing. It's right before God. Let the Word of God strengthen you and help you. That's where the test is going to come. Brethren, if it was easy, if there wasn't no battle to it, there'd be no chance of reward. If there was no battle to it, there'd be no need for armor. Brethren, I really think that a lot of saints think that a lot of words in the Bible are just figurative words. I really do. I think a lot of saints believe when the Bible speaks of warfare, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. No. That's real. It's real stuff. Right? When the Bible speaks of that armor, Paul is not writing in a rhetorical, flowery manner of just like, oh, the great. No, he's serious. You need that armor on because the devil is playing for keeps and this stuff is real. And you got to have that armor on because it's a real deal. And then if we don't put the armor on, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, feet shod with preparation. Man, if we don't put the armor on, sword of the Spirit, Word of God. Brethren, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble because it's a real deal. All right? And so tomorrow, brethren, there are certain stands that you've taken. That's fine here, but the test is going to come out there. You want to endure it? Have charity. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith, talking about Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. How did he endure? How did Moses endure that? As seeing him who is invisible. Well, that did me a lot of good, preacher. How in the world do you see someone that's invisible? By faith. It's by the eye of faith. That's how you see someone that's invisible. Brethren, look here. What Moses did, you can do. What Moses did, you can do. Moses endured. By faith, he forsook Egypt. As seeing. Now, later on, after he forsook Egypt, he met the Lord out in the wilderness. You know. But, brethren, when he forsook Egypt, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Brethren, you know what you're going to do? How you're going to be able to endure temptation? You've got to see him who is invisible. You've got to, by the eye of faith, see the Lord and know that it'll be worth it all and it's right and God won't let you down no matter what happens. No, you may lose your job, you may lose this, you may lose that, but the Lord is there for you. He'll see you through it. It'll be worth it all. You've got to see him who is invisible. And you see him who is invisible by the eye of faith. Go to Hebrews 12, verse 1. You've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. What an amazing thing, brethren. What an amazing thing. Here we are gathered together tonight. And if you are really saved and really wanting to love the Lord as you ought, every saved person in this room has sometime or another made choices that has affected your life based on someone you have never met. You've only heard about. Never met him. You've only heard about him. But you've been willing to put your faith and trust in him and even make life-changing decisions in your life based on him. What do you think that does for him? What do you think that does for him? To watch a people that have never seen him, believe that a man who was a Jew that was nailed to a cross 2,000 years ago was really the God manifest in the flesh, that there really was the Son of God. He died, was buried, and rose again, and he's coming back. You've never seen him, and yet you will alter your life. If you know him, you will, in different ways, and make decisions because of him. Brethren, that's why faith, true faith, glorifies God. Amen. True faith glorifies and honors God. Because here is a people, brethren, here is a people that the Lord looks down from and sees. They've never seen him, never met him, have heard things about him and his son, and yet will make life-changing, life-altering decisions, believing you're there and you'll see me through. And even if things fall apart, you're still there and you do all things well. Brethren, that gives glory to God. And that gives glory to God. And you know what? The devil can't stand it. That's why, brother, he that can't stand God getting glory. And he wants to take that. And he wants to take from... Brethren, it's not so much about you. He wants to do what he can to rob glory from God. To take any kind of glory that God gets. So if he can take us and defeat us, discourage us, get us down, get us sidetracked, then God don't get the glory that he's worthy of. But brethren, we'll take. Never even seen him. But believe him. And believe his word and go that far, that glorifies him. That pleases him. That's a real battle, brethren. We don't see it, but it's there. That's a real deal. Brethren, I told you before, look, some of these people, look, some of these trick shot artists are these guys that, can shoot up, like a cigarette or whatever out of somebody's mouth, or shoot a coin out of somebody's mouth. Some of these people are pretty good. Like that gal, Annie Oakley, way back. She was just good. She was good. She could take a mirror, and just good. But let me tell you something. They were very skilled. But what is it that allows a skilled marksman? What causes people to see what great talent he has? Somebody's faith in him. It takes somebody who says, I trust you. I believe you're good enough that you'll clip that thing out of my mouth and you won't shoot me. And brethren, guess what that means? Anybody can say that. Brethren, anybody can say, oh, I'd let you do it, but he'll do it. And stand there. Because look, and if you twitch, you're going to mess up. If you twitch, it ain't cause they're bad shot. Your lack of trust messed it up. Because if they're really as good as they claim to be, your trust and your faith in being still, they will be able to demonstrate their great ability. Don't you see, brethren? God's got this great and all awesome ability and power and might. But the only way people are going to see it is when you and I, by faith, see the principles and the things we're supposed to see and act on them. Then God gets in and works in that thing, and people are able to see his power. When we twitch, when we flinch, that throws it off. It's not that his power is suspect. It's not there's any problem with the Lord. We twitched, we flinched, and that throws the thing off. But that's the whole key of that thing. Here's somebody, they're a good shot. How's anybody going to know they're a good shot? Well, when you'll stand there and say, you mean that? Yep, come on. You going to trust them to do it? I trust them. And they'll shoot that thing out of your mouth or shoot that thing out of your. That's some faith. That's some faith. Yeah, they have some ability. But that ability can't be known unless somebody's going to take and have some trust. But then God's ability and his power is unbelievable. but it can't be manifested unless you have somebody that's going to trust him and step out in that kind of faith. And that magnifies his great power and his might. But if we flinch and we twist and we dodge and duck, we're the ones that those things off. Look here, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Listen, Christ endured. Twice there it says, use the word endured. Christ finished his course. And you can. Because of him, you can. But you got to keep your eyes on him. You've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. And so what's the devil going to do? He's constantly going to try to get you to get your eyes somewhere else. Brethren, men will always, in some way, in some aspect, let you down. That's just, brethren, we have flesh, and men will let you down. Brethren, it kills me to think that at times I will let somebody, but I know I will. And I hate it. I don't want it. It just kills me to even think about. But brethren, if you was to keep your eye, but don't get me wrong. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. There's nothing wrong with following a man as long as he follows Christ. But the key is following Christ. Brethren, the only way to make it through is keep your eyes on the Lord. Men will let us down. And you got to adjust to that thing. And I've told you before, here's what happens. People, especially people get newly saved, if you help them in the things of God, people will put you up on a pedestal. But that's why I don't ever put any man on a pedestal. First of all, it's dangerous for you and it's dangerous for him. He don't deserve to be there. He's just a man, a sinner saved by grace. Paul said, we're helpers of your joy. Paul said, me and Apollos, don't be put one above another. We're just helpers of your joy. But when you put a man, when somebody puts you on a pedestal, now you don't deserve to be there. And you need to remind yourself of that. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You are not going to stay on that pedestal. You are going to do something that's going to upset them, and they're going to find out that you also are just a sinner saved by grace, or that you've got feet of clay, and they're going to bring you down from that pedestal. Now, it would be good if they would just put you from that pedestal and put you right there among men, but they won't do that. You become a piece of chewing gum or dung under their foot then. Now, seriously. You become dog manure under their foot. Brethren, it is amazing how people can go from thinking you're the greatest thing since sliced bread to using your name almost as a cuss word. And guys, you better understand something. If you're going to do service for God, it's just going to happen. And what you've got to do is not let it get inside of you and make it to where that you spend day and night wait, thinking of it and being bitter about it. You just give it to God and go on. But it is going to happen. I'm telling you, just as sure as the sun rises, it's just going to happen. And if you think that it won't, you're deceiving yourself. Come on, that same crowd that said, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the house, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. A week later, crucify him. That's what the crowd does. And if you believe the crowd, you're going to be in trouble. Because the same crowd that will say, they will exalt you, they will crucify you in a minute when you don't dance to their tune. Now, that's just the truth. What do? Well, you just got to march on. You just got to march on. You just got to press on. But you need to understand it will happen. It will happen. So what do you got to do? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Brethren, don't put people on pedestals because they won't be able to maintain that. Okay, you put them there, hopefully. Hopefully they didn't put yourself there. You put them there, and the thing is you won't keep them there. Just treat people as they are. Fellow sinners saved by grace that God has put in your path to help you along in the ways of God. Appreciate them for what they are, no more, no less. And keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And you can make it through. You can endure temptation. You can endure all things. All right. Go back to James chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, brethren, a lot of people want a crown. Everybody's crown. You know the joy of the crown? Brother, the joy of the crown, the joy of all reward, is not so much the thing itself. It's the honor of who gives it. Brethren, in many of an award ceremony, the honor was not the medal itself. But a lot of times they're not made of gold. A lot of times they may be covered with a silver star. It may be covered with something, but it's not pure gold. It's not pure silver. The honor is who gives it and what it means. Brethren, I think it was when President Truman gave, I don't know if it was to Desmond Doss or who it was, that he gave the Medal of Honor. I think Truman told him, said, "I'd rather have that thing than be President of the United States." That's a big honor to give that Medal of Honor. When Queen Victoria was handing out Victoria Crosses, right? That was their nation's highest reward. She was all tore up. One guy was just all mangled up. And he said, we'd do it all again for Queen and Country. But the honor of it was who was giving it. Brethren, what's the honor? The honor is this. If Jesus, do you understand? If Jesus Christ gives you reward, no one in the universe can stand up and say, "He don't deserve it." Nobody. Nobody can say one thing against it. Nobody. No entity at all. If the Lord gives you something, you got it. And that's the honor of the thing. Brethren, come on. How many people get awards today and there's somebody at work going, "Yeah, right." "Yeah, right." Yep. Okay. I know that's, yeah. I bet you, they go home like, "How'd it go today?" "Well, you know, old suck up got his deal today." "Old bootlicker, he got his deal. It's just a matter of time." "Man, I can't believe that guy." Right? And you're like, "Well, what happened?" "Well, he got, you know, he's just always sucking up. He's always bootlicking. He's just, you know." Or it's like something else. You know, somebody gets something, you know, and everybody's like, you know, "Yep." You know how it goes, brethren. You know how it goes. Or sometimes you get something, even sometimes a person getting, it's like, "Oh, great." You know, employee of the month. It was my time. I hadn't got it for 6 months. I guess they figured it was time. I mean, some things in life just don't mean anything, and sometimes they do. You know, but brethren, I'm telling you, when the Lord gives you something, when the Lord gives you something, you got it. You got it. And brethren, it's nobody can contest the thing. And that's the honor of it, is the Lord giving it to you for faithful service. But let me say something to you, brethren. Don't expect a crown. You've heard the old saying, before the crown, there's a cross. And that's the truth, brethren. No crown without a cross before. And brethren, for a crown of life, you've got to endure temptation. You've got to endure some testing and some trial. You've got to go through something to get that crown of life. It's not just a matter of being saved. You've got to go through some things. You've got to endure temptation. Take your Bible, go to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. Now, the man that endures temptation will be given what? A crown of life. Look at Revelation 2. Watch this thing. Revelation 2, verse 10. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Look at this next part. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Well, look at that. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." Lo and behold, those that are faithful unto death, Lord says, "I'll give thee a crown of life." So notice, a crown of life is mentioned for those enduring tribulation and those being faithful unto death. So that ties together to give us a principle. Part of enduring temptation is death has to come into play. Dying to self and mortifying the flesh and its carnal desires. Isn't that interesting? The crown of life is mentioned for two individuals. It's mentioned for those that are faithful unto death. Those that stayed true, though they were going to be burned at the stake, though they were going to have their body racked, they were faithful unto death. And it's mentioned for those enduring temptation. Why is the same kind of crown mentioned? Because, brethren, it both involves death. One, willing to lose your life, And in the very real sense, in the other sense, willing to lose your life. In other words, this may cost me. I'm going to have to die to what I want, to stand here for what I know is correct and I know is right, and no matter what it may cost, and by the grace of God, I'm going to stick through the thing. You see, both these situations involve death. One, physical death, literally. The other, dying out to self's desires and what self wants. And the same crown is mentioned. A crown of life, faithful unto death, enduring temptation. Because brethren, sometimes when you are put through a test or trial, you know what's going on? Your flesh says, come on, yeah, just give in. Don't do that to us. Don't do that. Just, you know, I mean, nobody else goes that far. Nobody else does that. Come on. And you're like, but it's right, and I know it's right, and I got it. And you're willing to die out to self and your own desires and what you want and do what the Lord wants you to do. Death's involved. A mortification of self. And that crown of life is promised here. It involves death to self in one way or the other. Go to Luke chapter 9. Now I want to tell you something. Let's suppose that Brother Brad and Brother Jeremy are both work at the same place. Let's suppose they both work at the same place. And let's suppose there's something that God had put on Brother Brad's heart that Brother Jeremy had not been faced with, or was a different, or just didn't feel the same way about it. Now listen. But Brad is sure that God has put this on his heart. He's not being judgmental of Jeremy there at work. He just knows this is a stand he needs to take. All right? Amen. Then he needs to do that. He doesn't need to look at Jeremy and be like, well, why? Won't you take this kind of... Now, don't get me wrong. When it's black and white, right and wrong, okay. But let me tell you what Jeremy's not supposed to do neither. Well, if Brad's doing that, guess I better too. Okay, I'll just do it too. That ain't gonna work. Because if you're, listen, whatsoever not is not a faith is sin. If you're not doing it because you are assured of it and you're doing it for the glory of God, if you're only doing it because you're embarrassed or other people may not think you're spiritual as somebody else or for whatever the reason, it ain't gonna flow, bud. It ain't gonna cut it. That ain't gonna get it. It ain't going to work. You are not going to get the grace you need to see through it now, and you probably ain't going to get no reward for it on the other side. Because look, charity suffers long. Hey, look what charity. Paul says, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Can you imagine suffering a martyr's death and going home and the Lord says, no profit. I died. I was burned to the stake. What'd you do it for? He said, well, Brother Doss, surely no one would die unless it was sincere. You better wake up. You know, you can't believe what pride will drive people to do. Brother, you can't imagine what people will do just for pride or what other people may think of them or what memorials may be built on them. You can't imagine. You better believe somebody it could give their body to be burned and yet charity not be behind it. And if they do, no profit. What I'm telling you is, brethren, listen. You find the ground God would have you to take. Now, brother, some things are just right and wrong, huh? Listen. If Brad's not going to steal something and Jeremy's trying to figure out whether he should steal or not, there's no question there. You don't steal. But what I'm saying is, brother, sometimes there are issues. What do you do? Well, you say, well, you pray for the brother. You examine your own self. But if God's not putting the same thing on you, you don't get judgmental about it. You try to support, but you find your ground. But if you try to just imitate what somebody's doing without it being done by charity and faith, you won't be able to see it through. You won't have the grace needed for it, and you won't profit on the other side. So you got to know your ground. And brethren, it means dying out to self. Go to Luke 9, look at verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Wow. Those are powerful words. Jesus said, you want to follow me? You want to come after me? You want to be one of mine? You want to follow me? All right. Daily. Pick up a cross. What does that mean? Brethren, okay, what was a cross for? One thing and one thing only. Death. Horrible death. Not lethal injection. Not some gas up to your, you know, no, nothing like that. It was, you took up that cross for one reason. You were going to die. And that you went out there and they nailed you to that thing and you, it was death. Jesus said, if you're going to come after him, brethren, listen, this is true for any, if you're going to come after the Lord, you're going to follow along him. He said to daily, take up your cross and follow him. That means you're not be going in uncharted territory. You'll just be following him. That makes it easier. You know what I'm saying? That makes it easier. It's not uncharted ground. The Lord's not going to take you through any stand, any test, any position that he ain't already gone through. He's ahead of you. You're not going to be going through uncharted territory. You won't go through nothing like, Lord, you don't know what this is like. Lord, I done been there. He done been before you. You will not go through uncharted territory. He done been there. You just got to follow along in his wake and he'll show you how to see it, make it through that thing. But it's daily dying to self. Daily. That means tomorrow morning, brethren, you and I need to get up. And we need to, when we get up out of bed, we need to look there in our room. And if you'll look, you'll see a cross. You'll see a cross. Now it's up to you what you're going to do with it. All right, God needs to give you spiritual eyes to see that cross in the morning in your room when you get out of bed. It'll be there. But what are you going to do with it? Now, you can ignore it. That's your choice. You can ignore it. You can head out that door and you can go about your day and you can ignore that thing. But what you've just said to the Lord is, I got my plans, God. I got my plans today. And I'm just going to do what I want to do today. Okay, fine. But that day is going to profit you nothing in eternity. Or you can get up and you can go, help me, Father. And you can go over and pick that thing up. And what I'm saying is you can go and say, Lord, I've got my day before me. I have duties. I have things that, unless you intervene, that I plan on having to do today. But Father, thy will be done. However you see fit to interrupt my life today, help me to submit to it. Help me to submit to it with the right attitude. Father, not what I want, thy will be done. And you take up that cross tomorrow, dying to self, saying, Lord. And you know what? God may let you tomorrow go through your day just like you'd kind of planned. It's fine. The key is that there's a willingness to die to self and do what God would have you to do when it interrupts the plans that you want. That if God puts somebody across your path when you planned on doing this, but God interrupts your plans with something else, that you're like, thank you, Lord, and you yield to that with a right attitude. Rather than like, but I planned on this. And God may let you do that. But if he puts somebody or some situation else in your path, that you're like, Lord, the cross. Not what I want right now. Lord, death to me and death to my desires. Lord, but what you want. I need to talk to this person. I need to do this thing. I need to do, and you yield to that. That's taking up that cross daily. Daily. Brethren, it's an attitude of not my will, Father, thine be done. A dying out to self. Brother, the Lord may let you tomorrow do the plans and the designs you have. As long as they're not evil. As long as you haven't planned to rob a bank tomorrow, nothing like that. You know, something's wrong, sinful. God will let you probably carry your plans out. But, when you take out that cross, what you're saying is, Lord, death to me. Crucifixion to self, Lord, what you want. And however you interrupt my plans, I yield to that, Father. And help me to yield to it with the right attitude. Not my will, but thine be done. The thing it is, it's got to be picked up every day. It's got to be picked up every day. Now, Jesus said that's how you follow him. We're in a bad shape today, brother. We're in Laodicean age and we're in bad shape. Nobody understands it, gets it, or is at least willing to try to live in the light of it. But God help us, brethren. That's the life of Christianity. That's what being a Christian's about. It's knowing the Lord and then taking up that cross. It doesn't mean tomorrow. It doesn't mean that you go and you punish yourself or you make yourself do certain things that are unpleasant. No! It means you pick up that thing and go about your day. But when God interrupts it with things that go against what you wanted to do and you realize it is His will, it's something He wants, that you accede to it, you yield to it, hopefully with the right attitude. That's the key to it. And that's the way to procure that crown on the other side. It has to do with death. Faithful unto death, enduring temptation. Daily, dying to self, taking up the cross. All right? Look here. Go back real quick to James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's the thing. This crown, brethren, involves enduring temptation. It involves being faithful unto death. That involves loving the Lord. They're all bound together. They're all bound together. Brethren, enduring temptation, being faithful unto death, it's all bound up in loving the Lord. Brethren, there are so many problems in the lives of believers that would be cleared up if they just loved the Lord. If they just loved the Lord. You know what happens, brethren? When you quit, when you lose your love for the Lord, everything suffers. And brother, listen, if an individual loves the Lord, I'm not going to say that their marriage will get fixed because it takes two to make a marriage, but they'll be able to handle it right. They'll be able to handle situations that come up with a good attitude. They'll be able to deal with it if they love the Lord. Brethren, if we love the Lord as we ought, I'm not saying it'll fix everything. Because often our situations involve more than one person, and you can't will somebody else's life for them. But you'll be enabled to overcome that thing without it overcoming you. The key is loving the Lord. Listen, brethren, it's all involved in loving the Lord. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So enduring hardness, endurance again. Brethren, being a good soldier of Jesus Christ involves loving Him as we ought to. It does. It involves loving Him as we ought to. Brethren, it was 2 Timothy 2, verse number 3, 2 Timothy 2, 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It involves loving Him. Brethren, since we love Him, why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. We would increase our love if we would learn more of how much He loves us. Why'd you ever love Him to start with? And brethren, look here. You'll never convince me that somebody is saved and not love the Lord. That don't happen. If you get saved, you love Jesus. That's why you got saved. You love Him. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And listen, so if you want to love Him more, learn more about how much He loves you. And you can love Him more. Brethren, when you really see how much the Lord loves you, you can't even put it into words. You realize, I'll never be able to love Him back enough completely. He's so wonderful. And if that don't get you to serve Him, then nothing will. Nothing will. Nothing at all will. You know, and you realize how much He loves you. Go to Romans 8 real quick. Romans 8. Brethren, you know, there was an army all run about 1862 to 1865. That group of fellas got to where they was a ragtag bunch at the end. Eating green corn and diarrhea all over the place and not having shoes and clothes in tatters and just, it was a rough bunch. Confederate Army. But yet those guys, in fact, there were observers from England that was just like, it's unbelievable what those guys do. It's unbelievable. You know what? You know why a lot of it was? One name, Robert E. Lee. Those guys would have done anything for that man. One of the Douglas Southall Freeman wrote a four-volume series on Robert E. Lee called R.E. Lee. Won a Pulitzer Prize for it back in the 20s, I think. He and even knew men at the time who knew General Lee or knew his sons. tremendous book, tremendous. Robert E. Lee was a saved man, no question about it. I think he's one of the greatest men I've ever read about, saved men who wasn't called to be a preacher or anything like that, but he knew his place. Those men, though, brethren, put up with all those privations, all that they put up because they loved that man. You know why they loved that man? Because they knew that man loved them. And he was always looking out for them. Yes, he put their lives on the line. And yes, they knew he was not doing anything out of extravagance or just for his own reputation or pride. And he cared for them. And they'd do things for him. Man alive. I'm just telling you, brethren, history shows devotion to someone like that. Well, brethren, above all is our Lord, our great commander, and the love that he has toward us. If we'd love him more, if we'd realize how much he loves us, we could love him more. Romans 8, look at verse 34. Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 5 verse 10. Romans 5 verse 10. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. Now listen, if He died for you and I as lost sinners, if He died for us when we were lost and didn't even think about Him and or didn't care about Him, just cared for ourselves, if He died for us as lost individuals, then once we're saved and are now children of God, belong to Him, one with Him, then if He allows you to suffer as a saved man or saved woman, it is because of His great love toward you. Realizing this will increase our love, which will in turn increase our ability to faithfully endure temptation. You know what sometimes will bring home how much the Lord loves you? Not what you would think. Brother, it's not often the blessing, so to speak. Oh, those, God's good like that. But that's not, brother, the things that's brought home to me, brother, when I have gone through things in life that have hurt bad, and I have gone and found some place in the woods to put my face on the ground and plead with God and beg Him to take that thing away or make the thing better or lift the thing, and yet, and knowing He could, but yet He chooses to allow me to suffer under that thing. You know what that's caused me to realize? Lord, how much You love me. Because I am Yours. I'm Your child. I belong to You. You're a better parent than I am. And God, the only way I'd let my child suffer and hurt that bad would be if it was ultimately for their great good because I loved them so much. And then I would realize, oh God, You must love me more than I could ever imagine. For You to let me hurt like this and not lift it, You must love me more than I could ever imagine. Do you understand that? Where do you think your ability to love your wife, your husband, your children comes from? Who gave you that ability to love? God Almighty. Now the devil will mess with it and twist it and just pervert it and do all kinds of things. But the ability to love is from God. Why? Because the Bible does say in the book of John, God is love. Now the world turns that thing into something it's not. But God is love according to the Bible. And you have a capacity to love. Well, as much as you love your wife, your children, your people that are dear to you, that in no way compare to the love God's got for you. Now think about it. Who in this room would let their child hurt needlessly? Is not our initial reaction always to come and relieve them from hurt? Brother, any time you're somebody that you care about, your initial reaction is to like, no, no. But often you'll stop and you'll be like, this is killing me, but it's best for them. They've got to go, because I love them, they've got to go through that. I can't just risk it. And you let them because you love them. But do you think that God sits on his throne in heaven just with this stoic lack of compassion? Just that he's moved by things. Brethren, we have emotions because he has granted us that ability. He feels, he loves. Yet he doesn't often come to our rescue because he loves so deeply. God is trying to do a perfecting work in our life to be what he would have us to be and bring the glory to him that he's worthy of. And what he's got in us for us in eternity. So God will often let us in the trials, in the tent. He won't deliver us. And if you think he's just up there nonchalantly, like not even hardly caring, oh, he cares. He cares more than you can imagine. He hurts more and he cares more than you ever have for anyone. But he'll let it go on because of the depth of his love. Once you realize that, you can love him more. You can love him more. And at the same time, when you realize how much he loves you, it will enable you to endure those temptations. And enduring those temptations, you are procuring a crown of life that he wants to give you one day. Now, the powers of darkness know that this all is true. And that's why they want to steal it from your mind, get you to not think about it, or just, well, that's kind of interesting. Just anything they can do just to keep you from acting on it. Brethren, we're going to have trials. A faith that's untested is an empty faith. If we'll endure them, there's a chance for a heavenly reward, a crown of life. But to be able to endure, you got to realize how much he loves you. Because you got to love him more. You got to love him back. And you got to see how much he loves you. When you see that, when you see how much he does care, you can love him more. And that'll see you through. But I want to close with you with this one thought I want you to remember. One of the things that the adversary is going to always try to do is in your mind tell you he don't love you. The devil is going to try to attack in your mind the love of God. He's going to try to tell you that he loves others better. And what you'll try to do is tell yourself, well, I probably not deserved his love. Listen, you don't understand. God does love you. He's wanting, listen, he's not loving others, loving you less, or just, the devil's going to try to malign the Lord to you and tell you he's just impassioned up there. He's just stoic. He don't care. He don't love you. He's just forgot about you, or God don't care about this little detail. That's why you need to remember and remind the enemy that, look, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Okay. Who in this room cares that much about your own self or somebody else? Who in this room has ever even tried to count the number of hairs in your head? Come on. God says the very hairs of your head are. Brethren, a God that has got the hairs of your head counted, a God that knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, he gave his son for you. The enemy is going to try to lie to you. Jesus says he's a liar and the father of it, and tell you, God don't care. He's just concerned with other things, or it don't matter to him. He's lying. He cares. If he doesn't come to your aid like you want him to, it's because he's trying to do something in your life. He's trying to grow you. He's trying to mature you. He's trying to get you to the level he wants you to be. Brethren, he does not want you kept a little child that always has to be rescued. He wants you to grow in faith and move to the next levels. And to do that, he's got to let you cry it out at times or let you hurt it out. He's there. He's there the whole time. You got to trust Him that He knows what He's doing. He's trying to move us to those levels that He wants us to be, to perfect us, mature us, and we bring the glory to Him that we are supposed to, and He can give us the reward someday that He wants to give us. And the enemy is doing everything he can to waylay that. Be aware of the process, and don't let it take you unawares. Father, Lord, help us, precious Father, to understand these principles. Help us, Lord, to live in the light of them. Help us, Father, to realize, Lord, how the enemy will slander You to us. Help us, Lord, to refute his lies with Your word. Lord, we can't refute his lies with our feelings. We've got to refute his lies with Your word, and help us to know that and walk in the light of that. Father, help us, Lord, to endure temptation by, Lord, keeping our eyes upon You. Lord, by loving You, and we do that, Lord, by realizing how much You love us. Lord, help us to realize that tomorrow, Lord, there will be a cross before us. And we've got a choice to make. Do we pick it up, or do we just turn a blind eye to it? Father, help us to be willing to take up our cross. Take up the cross and follow You tomorrow, Lord, and every day. Lord, You may just allow the day to go as regular. But Lord, help us to realize that picking up that cross means when You choose to intersect our life with Your will, that we yield to it and accede to it where it may cross our designs and our desires. Lord, help us to realize that this crown of life, there's a common denominator in Revelation and in James, and it has to do with death. Death to self. It's easy for me to say these words, Father. It can be easy to preach them, teach them, and pray them. Oh, Father, but help us to live in the light of them. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.